Romans chapter 6 is where we'll just really begin today, and I have a lot to say, and I hope that as we go through this, you'll follow along with me, follow along in the Word of God in the places that I point you to, and that will help you greatly this morning. But we'll begin just reading, and we'll read several verses in this chapter, and then we'll dive into the content of the lesson for this morning. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, begin reading in verse number 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God dramatically changes some people, but he definitely changes all people. And that's what we want to look at this morning and over the next couple weeks as we get ready for these series and the Bible study and all that we're going to do throughout the course of the summer together. And so just really dig in this morning with me as we study what it means when God changes a life. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to have this Sunday school class and for those who are able to be here today. Lord, I pray that you would help this lesson to engage their hearts. Lord, that they might look at their life and they might consider how you have changed them as they come to understand, hopefully a little bit better, what it means when I say or when someone says that God changes lives. Now, Lord, I pray that lives would be transformed in this room and because of what happens in this room. And Lord, I pray that you would use these who are here this morning to spread these truths to others whose lives are in desperate need of the transformation that you alone can bring. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for your love for us that makes this all possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, one of the most infamous moments in the American Civil War is definitely that of Sherman's March to the Sea. As you study history and you study what happened in the Civil War, obviously it's a it was a tragedy in our country and one that has a lot of issues that could be discussed that will not be discussed in this venue. But needless to say, the march of General Sherman to the sea is one that had a dramatic impact in the South as he went from starting point all the way to the sea. He traveled and they killed and they burned and they murdered and they mistreated people all along their way. And I know I'm from the North and I'm in the South, and so I can own up to the fact that what they did was not right. But that's really not the discussion this morning, except to say what he did left in his wake a dramatic impact. It had a changing impact on the nature of the course of the war and in the lives of the people that it came across. And in a similar way, but in a much better way, if you look at the Word of God throughout history, the Word of God in the God of the Word as he has gone throughout and marched throughout the ages of this world, God has made a dramatic impact. You can trace and see this large path of not destruction, as was the case with Sherman's March to the Sea, but a path of deliverance as God has marched through history, lives have been dramatically changed. And it would be impossible today to just begin to trace all that has happened since the church started when Jesus Christ was here. But it really has been amazing as nations have been changed and lives have been changed. And so many people that were at one point on a course of destruction that would leave them eternally bound in hell have been delivered from that and have been given lives of meaning and of purpose. And all of that is true because we serve a God who changes lives. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because as we know that truth about God, the reality is there are a lot of people in this world that are just longing for a change. They just wish things were different, and they turn from place to place. Some people turn to finances to try to make the change in their life. Maybe they grew up poor, and so they spend their whole life just trying to better themselves so they can make more money, and so they can maybe raise their kids in a circumstance that's a little bit more wealthy and a little bit more well-to-do. Some people turn to pleasure so they can just find the change that they want, and they run from one thing to another, from one relationship or one substance to another, and they just want something to make a change. And some people turn to other personal expressions of freedom, I'll call them, and they just do whatever it is that they want to do, whether it's try to initiate a change in their gender or why, whether it's try to just buck the system of the way that God has made the world to work in general. They just turn to all these things. Some people turn to food. You don't have to turn very far to realize that in America there is an abuse of food. People that just live their lives. And when we were in Murfreesboro just a few days ago, we caught a glimpse of one of those shows where, you know, people are trying to lose massive amounts of weight. I don't remember the name of the show. And it's just crazy how some people approach their lives in that way. And they turn to those things because they're looking for something, and some to alcohol, some to sports, some to hobbies, some to social causes, some to relationships. But in all of these things, people are looking for something. Our nation is filled with people who are empty while they're full. We have more, and yet so much less in our society today. There are people who they want to change. They're looking for what really only God can do. And that's why I wanted to come to this this morning and over these next few weeks, because as we consider what is going on in our world, and even, I would say at times, even in our own lives, because we're not removed from this. We all have a sin nature that just longs for things. And if we get our eyes off of what I'm going to talk about for the rest of this lesson this morning, then we can begin to go down those paths as well. And I want to help you avoid that. And the truth of the matter is, the greatest need that every person has is to have a personal encounter in relationship with God. Every human heart has a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. God made us with a longing and a desire for Him. And because of our sinful nature, oftentimes people miss that. And that's why they go from one thing to another. But the reality is, people who are pursuing those things, when they come to have a real, a genuine encounter with the God of the Bible, it makes a dramatic impact. Change has a dramatic impact in their lives. And that can be true for you too. And I believe that most of you, if not all of you, would attest to a moment where you've had a personal encounter with God. And that's why I said the greatest need of every life is not just a personal encounter, but a personal, a continual, a living, a wonderful, a deep, and a rich relationship with God. True transformation is not emotional. True transformation is not external. True transformation occurs on the inside. There's a lot of churches and there's a lot of people that really prey on this idea of that mankind is longing for something, and we can you wouldn't take you very long to find an example of a church or an organization that is trying to meet that need in some way. But the truth is, a lot of them, they miss it. A lot of them they'll put forward that they have these really great worship services, and you can look at things, and you can find just cases of this online where people it's all about the music. It's all about the emotion. It's all about what is experienced in the person's life in a very, very external way. And really, it's from the outside in. But I want to tell you something this morning. An encounter and a relationship with God is not based on the emotions that we feel. And it's really not even initiated in the emotions that we have. But rather, the truth is, God wants to change people from the inside. That will result in an emotional outpouring at times. It will result in a life that is lived passionately in so many ways. So I want to encourage you today, as we look at these thoughts, my goal this morning is to tell you what it means when I say God changes lives. I want to give you just a biblical perspective of life transformation from the Bible. Because the reality is, not only have there been many attempts through all the things I've already listed, but there have been other attempts by you can use maybe the word secular organizations to try to help people, through counseling and through self-help books. I mean, you just go to, we take Samuel to Barnes & Noble every once in a while because he likes to play with the train set there, and I'll go get a book or something to read while he's playing, And that's what tells you, we don't want to buy him one. We just go where there is one, And so we take him there, and I'll walk past the section, and I'll see all these self-help books. I mean, just like, I mean, you could fill libraries with these self-help, self-transformation, self-motivation, how to be a better you, all these kind of things that just are available for people today. And yet, it's been unsuccessful. The people who have bought into those teachings and those systems have consistently come up empty many times. And I'm not saying that there is no value in some of those books, because obviously there is a part of our Christian walk where God wants to develop us into people that are more confident in Him and in so many things. But so many times when people leave the Bible and begin to try to accomplish what the Bible was meant to accomplish, there is just no end to the things that they will try. And so I want to give you a biblical perspective of life transformation. In a humanistic society, it is essential that you as a Christian understand what the Bible says about God changing lives. Because if He's going to change your life, you have to view it right. And if He's going to use you through some form of ministry to change other people's lives, then you have to view this right, because otherwise we're going to miss it. We're going to misevaluate. We're not going to understand. And so today I want to show you this by pointing to three motivations that will help us to seek biblical life transformation. But there's a lot of information as we go along the way here. So motivation number one is that life transformation is possible. There would be no reason for this discussion if people's lives couldn't be changed. I mean, why would I say all that I'm saying right now if there was just no possibility of it? But the reality is, God wants to and can change a person's life, and that case is been developed by the very things I've already said this morning a little bit about. You can just look throughout history, and you can see that a change has been made in people's lives, and all of that, and yet I mentioned just a second ago all this this self-help philosophy about how to make a change. You know what often drives a lot of this motivation for change that is hopeless? Social media. I'm sure all of you have at one point or another looked at something on social media, and the reality about social media is that people will set the stage for these scenarios or these moments in life, and they'll do all this planning and things, and they may not even necessarily do it intentionally, but you get the right angle for the picture, you have the right background for the picture, you get everything set for this moment, and then you maybe take this picture or you share this thought and this explanation about what's happening, and it's just a snapshot of a moment in someone's life, and people see those moments, those picturesque moments, and they see that and they believe it as the reality, and they compare themselves, and we compare ourselves to what's happening in someone else's life, and we say, oh, that's what I want. That, how do I get there? How can I get to that point? And people try, and they endeavor, and they make all these changes, and they're just all, I mean, I could just list out just areas that people pursue for change in their lives, but we just wouldn't really have time for that. But in the end, when people get to those moments and they're like, ah, I saw that picture, I want to be able to live life like that, and then they get to the point where maybe they figured out how to do their hair that way, and they've got those tools, or they got that house, or they got that whatever, that thing that they wanted to make it possible that they saw in that person's life, that they finally have it too, and they have it, and they take the picture, or they share the post, and they realize that it's not really all that satisfying. It's really not what they thought it would be. Nothing's really any different. They just have more stuff, or they've figured out a way to posture themselves to at least look happy every once in a while. And so we live in a world that has just been burned out by the pursuit of happiness, of what God, or what seems to be what life is all about. But I say that to say this, life transformation is possible. We don't have to run from one Facebook or one Instagram post to another to try to make our life the picture of what it should be. We can go to God. But to understand that change is possible, we must understand, first of all, that change is necessary. It would be absolutely pointless to have this discussion at all, like I said, if it wasn't possible, but if it wasn't absolutely necessary, and it is necessary. The Bible says that all people are born into this world with a desperate need of change. The Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We live in a world where people are at their very beginning moments desperately in need of change, because we are born as sinners into this world apart from God. And so it's absolutely necessary that we experience a change, because if we don't change at that level, there is absolutely no change that matters. You can get your life to this great and great moment of achievement and success, but if you've not experienced that, then all of the other things are pointless. But change is possible not because just because it's necessary, not just because we are sinners, but because God is true. God, being who He is, makes change absolutely necessary. God is a perfect God. We're going to learn more about God this summer, but the Bible says in Habakkuk 1:13, of God, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. All of His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Because God is the way He is, we need to change. If the world is ever going to be where it should be, the world has to change to view God the way that He is. And we have to view our lives in light of that. But the reality is, though, God has made a way. God has made it possible. So change is possible because it's necessary and because it's offered. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God made transformation possible by sending Jesus Christ into this world for us. And we talked about that last week. And so I'm not going to say more about it as we studied the Easter story. I shared a lot of technical things about what happens in a life when God comes in. And so I'm not going to reiterate all of that. But the truth of the matter is, good works and religious exercise, they might be within our power to do, but they are not. They do not have enough power to change. Only God can do that. But He offers that to us. That's why the Bible calls it a free gift. That's why the Bible says that it's by grace that we're saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, because if it was of works, we could boast about it. The next verse goes on to elaborate. God offers that. God says, okay, you want to change? You can have it. You just have to come to me in the right way. First of all, life transformation is possible. Secondly, life transformation is powerful. It's one thing to believe that change is possible, but it's another thing to understand what it really is. Understanding biblical life change is one of the greatest truths of the Christian life. When you stop to consider the needs of our broken world and how people are running from one outlet to another to find the help that they need, it's amazing to realize that we are involved in a faith system that makes a difference. To know that the Christian faith is one that has changed lives. When Jesus was on the earth, John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you the one that we are waiting for?" Basically is what he asked. And Jesus, rather than answering the question, turned and healed people and taught wonderful truth. And the Bible says that then he turned to the disciples of John and said, "You go and tell John that to the poor the gospel is preached, and the lame are able to speak, and the blind are able to see." He was saying, lives are being changed, just like the Bible said was going to happen when I came. And that didn't stop when Jesus passed from this earth. The fact is that the church is the house where truth has been committed to be held. And throughout the ministry of the church, throughout the ages, marriages have been put back together. Hope has been renewed. Sinners have been forgiven. Drunks have been sobered. Drug addicts have found freedom. People caught up in wicked systems have found a way out. And that's what we have. What the world is looking for, we have. It's powerful. It's powerful because the Bible says in the book of Romans, and we're getting close on our time, so I'm just going to try to go through this quickly. It's powerful because of its truth. And its truth is, as recorded in the book of Romans, we are passed from death unto life. The Bible says, as I quoted a minute ago in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in sin. But in this verse and in these verses, the Bible says that in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 6, I'll read it out loud for you. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Then verse number 2, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So we went from dead in sin to dead to sin. We were caught in a system of bondage and death and destruction. And now we no longer have a connection to that, because when you die, you are completely separated from everything here on this earth. And the Bible says that we died to sin, to sin's power, to sin's penalty. We died to that, and we did that as we enter into the death of Jesus Christ. As the book of Galatians says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We were dead to sin. We were dead in sin. And now we are dead to sin. But this passage in Romans actually goes on to say, not only is this a story of death, but it's a story of life. The Bible says in multiple places that in verse number 4, we should walk in newness of life. And verse number 8, the Bible says that we shall also live with him. And then verse number 10, it says that he liveth unto God. So I walk in the newness of life that Christ has, and I live with Christ, and Christ is living unto God. I have been changed from death to life. When something is dead, there's just no doubt. There's no use to it. There's no value in it. There's no profit that will come. There's no fruit that will exist. But change that to life, and everything changes. I'm sure you've probably seen a plant that was at least dying. Maybe it was because it was hot outside in the summer and not much rain had been falling, or whatever the case may be, and then the rain begins to fall, or you begin to water it, or whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden, life comes to that thing. And everything about it changes. It begins to look a whole lot more beautiful and have a whole lot more usefulness, whatever that thing may be. And that's what the Bible says happens on the inside of us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The change that happens in us is primarily an inward change. Happens in our hearts. It happens within us. And it happens by grace through faith, as we talked about a second ago. So what that tells us is this: change is accepted. It is not achieved. That's the problem with all these self-help books. They're trying to do it themselves. You can never affect the change in your life that you desire to see. There are things about me that I want to change. I'm working at things. I'm trying. I'm all these kind of things that you could point to that you want to see a change in. But the reality is, you will never accomplish the life change and transformation that God wants you to accomplish. Never. But God can in you. And He can pass that on to others through you. And we are out of time this morning, and so just to give you a couple thoughts as you go, I want to encourage you with this. There are several ways, because not only is life transformation possible and powerful, it's also personal. It's great to talk about all these things, but if you don't personalize it, then what's the use? And so in all of this, we close knowing that God wants to change you. Right where you are, God does not want you to stay. Now, I love all of you right where you are, and so does God. But He doesn't love us, but He loves us enough not to leave us as we are. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be different next year than we are this year. And there are several ways to accept this personal responsibility. Number one, you just have to believe. You believe God at the beginning. The Bible also says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And so we must believe God to change us at salvation. That happens when we put our faith in Him. But we must believe God daily to walk with Him and trust Him and allow Him through the circumstances of life to change us in the way that God wants us to be changed. And number two, to accept the responsibility, we must simply take ownership. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10, gives us a very, very sad explanation of what happened after the passing of Joshua. The Bible says, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, which is the generation that lived at the time of Joshua, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. Basically, there was no personal ownership of what God had done. We sit in a place where God has worked. I mention this every once in a while, but I don't want you to ever get over the fact that you are in the oldest church of any kind in one of the 50 United States of the United States of America. Like, that doesn't happen by accident, but in the end, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. Unless I realized that the truth that they stood for 240 years now that this church has been in existence, is just as true today as it was when Titus Lane started the church. And what he did in the life of this church for all of these years, he wants to do in your life. You must take personal responsibility. Your parents have made changes in their lives. God has led them to do that. I'm sure every one of your parents could say, I remember when we did that or did this or did that because God was working in our hearts and in our lives. But it's not enough for your parents to have made changes. And the reality is, you probably don't even understand some of the changes that they made. And I could say a whole lot more about this, but I just want to challenge you with this. Understand why they made you grow up the way that they did, and don't turn away from it, but follow in it. So part number three of our responsibility, we must continue. The Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. If we are going to see change taking place in our lives, we have to do those three things on a daily basis. I must believe God wants to make a change. I must have faith in God today. I must take personal ownership, not riding on the 240 years of the church that I go to, but riding on the fact that God wants to work in my life right now. And then just go for it. Go for it. And that's what I want to challenge you to do. This summer, we're going to give you opportunities to grow in your relationship with God and your understanding of His program for this world. And so do it. Take ownership. Be there. Do all that you can. And I know you can't do everything, but do all that you can to see God change your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this group. Help us to experience life transformation. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. You are dismissed.